I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good we can meet once again in peace in the house of God. Please turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 16. Verse 9. And may you take this home as your memory verse for your own life, for God to guide you in your life. Proverbs 16, 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. I read this again. Proverbs 16, 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Amen. I was born in Guangzhou, China, and came when I was about 1 year old. I consider this event of migration from China to Nanyang, God's greatest deliverance of our family. For in this moving of the family, we were delivered from the travails and turmoil of the subsequent revolution and the change of regime, so that the whole country fell into the hands of the communists. God was good to have delivered us out of that great troublous time. The period I'm going to talk to you about tonight covers the transition from the Manchu dynasty into the Republic of China era. And that period covers the later part of the 19th century to the first quarter of the 20th century, a period of great turmoil in China. Now, if you will follow me with the notes, I will take you through. And these notes are written mostly from memory, substantiated by various documents that were left by father, so that you have here a cross-section of history covering perhaps 50 years. Father was the firstborn to my grandfather, born in the year 1887. Now, I say this event was one of extra jubilation because the family was about the first in that village where we came from. If you are Teochew, I will tell you what it's called. Yam Zhao. All right, what does it mean to you? Salt oven or salt stove. That is a colloquial name. And the villagers, the neighbors, were completely taken aback when our family converted to Christianity under the ministry of William Chalmers Burns around the middle of the 19th century. Now, that was an event that the people there could not understand, neither could they accept. And so the talk around the village was that this Tow family will become extinct for having deserted the household gods, the family altar, which to the Chinese and the traditional Chinese was sacred. By the way, this is something that has deterred many Chinese families from the gospel. Why? Because I'm the firstborn and there is a family gods to service. How can I forsake? So this is it. So the arrival of a firstborn son was a great event. And so the villagers had to consider, because after that, grandfather had six more children, so altogether seven, and they were not going extinct, as the villagers had said. Para 3 on your page 1. Grandfather was a pastor, village pastor, and his conversion, I say, is a remarkable event. Now, this one, grandfather told us himself. When I was 19, as a brash young man out of the village, steeped in all the evil and vulgarity and the superstition of that particular Chinese culture in the Teochew district where we came from. When he came under the sound of the gospel, the word of God and the light of God shone into his heart and into his life. And instantly, the word of God took root and he was converted. And from there, he never turned back. Subsequently, he gave his life to serve the Lord under the watchful eye of the pastor who then was one of the first to be converted by Reverend William Chalmers Burns. And that pastor, who is, of course, my great-grandfather, gave him his daughter in marriage. So that is how we all got related. Grandfather gave his son two names. It is a custom in China for people to have more than one name. All right, it is all here in the notes. I don't have to show the OHP. Bottom of page 1, two names, and I have given you the Teochew pronunciation, but his name is in Mandarin, Jing Qi, and translated, if you like, good prospect. This is his official or public name. For example, you go into business, you're known as Du Jing Qi, but at home, grandfather never called him by Jing Qi, but would call him by Mu Yi, which is the Chinese name. Teochew is Mo Yi, all right? So this is his family name. So you see, in a name, you can read the parents' desire and aspiration for that particular son. As far as the world is concerned, you have a good prospect. And grandfather had better hopes, higher hopes for his firstborn son to be one who will be seeking righteousness, perhaps hoping that he would become a pastor following the footsteps of father and grandfather. However, from a young age, father had other ideas. Somehow, it's just in a person that even from childhood, he began to have interest in human affairs, international affairs, national affairs, politics. So this became the guiding tenor and the ambition of a young man. In fact, a boy. You see, father was so disgusted with the Manchu custom of growing a pigtail. You know, in those days, all the men had pigtails. But father, as a boy, got so disgusted, as I said, he cut it off when he was about 12. Para 2, bottom. In the village school, he excelled in studies and began to read widely of happenings at home and abroad. He had an uncle, my granduncle, therefore, who was a doctor. And to him, he resorted often to ask questions about this, about that. One day, para 4, He says, "Uncle, why do men and boys wear pigtails?" Answer is, "This is a degrading practice introduced by the Manchu rulers. They are the ruling power established by the Qing dynasty since 1644. By then, they had been in power for over 200 years. Mind you, who were the Manchus? Do you know that? Manchus came from Manchuria in the north. They were not Chinese, not real Chinese, but they came and they conquered the land and they ruled for over 200, almost 300 years. The corrupt Manchu administration and the age-old evil and oppressive rule, there is a saying which says, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so these Manchu rulers were very corrupt and very evil. And in the process, they fell into decadence. And so there were things that happened called unequal treaties, because you have lost respect as well as power with the international community. All those foreign powers came in and demanded concessions and rights and treaties that belittled China and were in favor of a foreign power. These things had all but reduced our country to a kind of a semi-colony. Can you imagine? You're Chinese, you live in China, but the powers that be are not Chinese. First the Manchus, and now powers like Germany, France, England, and Russia come in, and each one having their own protected areas. Now, I'm giving you the old translation, 中国, this. Chinese imagined that their country was the middle of the world. All the other countries are around, and we are the middle kingdom. So that gives you some idea of what the name means. Manchu, who are they? They're not Chinese, but they're Manchurians. And they ruled China for all these years until the Republic was established, 1912. What incensed Father, and he told this to us many times, I can still remember, that in a certain public park in Shanghai, there's this notice. Dogs and Chinese not admitted. And this is on your own Chinese front door. And how can you tolerate this kind of thing? So, I say, promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. And this kind of corrupt powers, sooner or later, God will pull them down. And so it did. We'll read the notes. Please follow. Top of page 3. Father grew up with mounting resentment against the Manchus. Yes, I've shown you this. The disgusting and degrading notice that dogs and Chinese are not admitted into their own homeland. What was the use of anger and resentment without action in any self-respecting community? Sooner or later, there will be revolution. You cannot stop it, because when those who are ruled refuse to be ruled, the rulers will fall. Do you know this? I repeat that. Those ruled, when they refuse to be ruled, then the rulers fall. So this was about to happen. To everything, there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. The days of Manchu dominance were numbered. Their power was rapidly declining amidst the rising tide of popular unrest and discontent. And in this kind of climate, Father grew up and he caught that revolutionary vision and the fervor and the kind of patriotism, you may call it, got hold of him. 1905, a very important date. By then, father was 18, born 1887, by 2000, he was 13, now 1905, he was 18. The revolutionary pioneer and national hero is Dr. Sun Yat-sen, also known as Sun Wen, formed the Tongmeng Hui, which is the Universal Allegiance Society. That is, this is the original society that brought about the revolution, which brought the Manchus to their knees, and then was formed the Kuomintang. The Kuomintang was formed after the revolution had succeeded. And then the Tongmeng Hui fused together with the Kuomintang. China imbibed the revolutionary fervor and became a member of the society. Thus, he began his intrusion into Chinese political circles, which before long saw him treading the corridors of power, hobnobbing with kings. Now, this is the background and the basis for my entitling this paper, Hobnobbing with Kings. If I can describe my forebears, father was the exact opposite of grandfather. It's amazing. There's no such thing as like father, like son here. Grandfather was a totally devoted, godly man who is completely detached from the world. Nothing of the world in him. He just hated the world. All his life is only serving the Lord for the kingdom of heaven, and nothing else mattered. That is grandfather. As for father, if I can use one name to describe him, he's vainglorious. He just loves the world, loves the limelight. If he can get himself into the news, wonderful. And this was the opportune time. Somehow, I do not know how, but he has the knack to get to know the powers that be. How can you understand a young man out of the village, medical student, age 18, to join the political movement and to get to know the founder, Dr. Sun Yat-sen? That I cannot understand. To me, it's total mystery. But there he is. And there he is, part of the revolution. I don't think he did very much. That's why I use the word hobnob. You know what is hobnob? You just get to know and to be familiar and to be friendly with people, and especially if they're big names, and you bask in the reflected glory. This is what appealed very much to father. Filled with visions of greatness, father rushed headlong into Chinese political Broadway, little realizing that he was treading on thin ice. Oh, my friends, I say the greatest event that happened in our family was that God took our family out of China. Not easy, you know, but only after father twice nearly lost his life. By a hair's breadth, God saved him twice. Once I've told, the other one I cannot tell because father never told us. But the one I've told you was really, I say, God sent angels to save him. Most of you heard it? Have you all heard it? Yes. In prison, earmarked for execution the next day, that evening, God sent three people and enabled him to escape out of captivity. And three people saw to it that he escaped. Total strangers came to his help and saw that got onto the ferry from Guangzhou to Hong Kong. He went through. Who were they? I say God's angels. But you know, these events impressed on him, your future is not in politics. Your future is not in China. God has better things for you. So the whole family moved from China to Nanyang. And this is where we all grew up. So I do not know anything about my homeland. People say, have you been back? I said, no. Why not? So good. I said, so bad. We came from there. All I know about China is a very corrupt, dirty, backward country. Now they said, no, you go to Shanghai. Singapore is put in the shadow when you see Shanghai. You want to see advance and modernism, you go to Shanghai. Now that's what I hear. Is there much desire to go and see? Not really. Serving the Lord is better. So here we are. Father got caught. Now a word about this man called Sun Wen. Again, in China, many people have two names. And I just cannot understand Father. And too bad I cannot ask him now. He's gone 26 years already. But how does a young man go and know the president and to get him to give his photograph? These things I don't understand. All I understand is God is good. Look at this one, autographed. Because, according to Father, Dr. Sun sent him on a mission to Zhangzhou. Some of you may come from there. And he did this secret mission so successfully. When he came back, it was a winter's night. Report to him. And in Father's own words, the great president's wife, Sun Qingling. No, is that right? Yes, Sun Qingling. One of the eldest of the Sun sisters. The second one married Chiang Kai-shek, you know that. So, she herself cooked the dinner, entertained him. After that, Father said to Dr. Sun, would you kindly give me a portrait of yours and autograph it? Here it is. You see the name there? Jing Qi Xianxeng, okay. And this Sun Wen. Now, that pleases Father no end. And he will be so happy to show to all his friends, not show, but show off, that he has access to the president. And I tell you, if there's anyone who is vainglorious, it is Father. Look at this. Then he's not enough. He says, Dr. Sun, can you write your famous motto, Bo Ai? Meaning to say, charity to all. You want to be a revolutionary leader, to be president of the greatest, most populous country in the whole world. He says, I have one policy, a Christian policy. He's a Christian. Whether genuine or not, at least nominally, he's Christian. He says, my policy and national policy is Bo Ai, meaning to say, love and charity and be charitable to everybody without exception. I say that is excellent for a man like him. In 1924, they formed the Huangpo Military Academy. That is the equivalent of SAFDI. All you NS boys, you know what is SAFDI. And that institution was to produce tens of thousands of military commanders for China. And because of his association, Father got to know Chiang Kai-shek. And Chiang Kai-shek put him to be the superintendent of the Huangpo Military Academy Hospital for the officers, and here he is. Oh, my father is very proud of this picture. You see how proud he looks? And this is Timothy, my eldest brother, who is the eldest son. And that's my eldest sister, departed this earth 10 years ago. So this was taken before we all emigrated to Singapore. Now, just to conclude, how ingenious Father was, as I said, I cannot understand how he did it. He spoke no English. He came to Singapore on a fundraising mission for YMCA in the year 1922. And what should he do when he comes to Singapore as a visitor? He visited the governor. And he couldn't speak any English at all. I said, how come you managed to see? I don't know. He didn't tell me. But here it is, proof. Here is Lawrence Guillemard. How many of you live on Kadang side of Singapore? Do you know there's a Guillemard Road? Yes or no? Am I inventing? No, go there and see. There are three roads named after Guillemard there. Guillemard Road, Guillemard Close, and Guillemard Hotel. He was the governor for about 10 years. And somehow, Father got to see him and say, please, will you autograph my book? And he did. What did he say? I have heard with much interest of the good work done by Dr. Toh Keng Kee, signed, including his private secretary, a man called Mr. Osborne, also signed, Richard Osborne. Now you say, what on earth did he do this? 1932, having emigrated from China, we were caught in the Great Depression that lasted 10 years. That Great Depression caused billionaires on Wall Street to take the high dive because their billions took wings, and overnight they were left without billions, only left the air, right? That depression caused many lives and homes to be destroyed, completely destroyed. People who had put all their hopes and their trust in money, overnight, their stocks and shares were worth only the paper. And this lasted for 10 years. Now, when we came from China, things were not bad. But within a matter of 3 years, the Great Depression caught up with us. And father and mother, of course, came with 4 children. Very soon became 6 children, 7 children. How do you feed 9 mouths? We were in a rubber estate in Sinai. You all know Sinai, where the new airport is. Now you live with 73 acres of rubber. You can tap the rubber, but you can't eat the rubber. And the rubber is not worth selling because it's not worth the tapping. Now what do? Father went to the chief medical officer in Johor Bahru. Now, this story you have heard once, I tell you again. And the chief medical officer is called Dr. Garlick. Now, if you live in Holland Road, Bukit Timah area, you know there is Garlick Avenue. Right, that is the Dr. Garlick. Dr. Garlick, I have a family. I need to live. I'm a Western-trained doctor, except unrecognized. Will you help? He took out the rule book. Too bad. I can't help you. A friend told him, Dr. Garlick is PMO. There is a PCMO, bigger than Garlick, in Singapore. Go and see him. Father went, armed with this. Dr. Fitzgerald was PCMO. Now, the amazing thing is Dr. Fitzgerald was acting, and only for about 2 months. And he happened to be there at that time, and Father saw him. So Father showed him this and talked to him, and he says, hey, you don't speak English? No. What do you speak? You speak French? No. Father says, but I know Latin. Oh, well, let's see your Latin. So Father wrote his favorite prescription for his own stomach, the stomach mixture. All in Latin. Now, in the old days, all of us had to learn Latin to go to medical college, you know. This was 1942, 43. So Father was brought up in Latin in his training in Swatow, Shantou. So that prescription was very impressive, because it was perfect Latin. So Dr. Fitzgerald says, yeah, you know the governor too.
And the governor says he's heard of your good work.
So one phone call to Dr. Garnick from Dr. Fitzgerald. Open the door. I say, dear friends, some of these vainglorious activities God turned to good effect. Do you agree? Father could never have thought that these things are going to be useful, but God used a vainglorious act to become the saving grace, the salvation for the whole family, because one call from Dr. Fitzgerald, who retired the next month, to Dr. Garlick, and then Father was sent to see Dr. Garlick, and this time Dr. Garlick says, you have it. Here is the license. You can practice now. So these are the things God delivered us out of China into Malaysia and eventually Singapore. Right? Please follow with your notes. Bottom of page 4. The major happening of Father's association with Dr. Sun took place in 1909 when he was 22. At the age of 22, he was sent by Dr. Sun. You know, 22 is just an NS boy, just finished NS training, right? About that. But how on earth he could convince the president he could do a mission? Whatever it is, he went. And the successful undertaking was rewarded with two portraits I showed you and that famous Boai. If you go to the Sun Yat-sen Villa and the museum in Kim Kiat Road, it is now hanging as one of their collections. Now we look at page 5. Yes, Father, for one time, was hobnobbing with the top people of China, top brass, the political leaders, people like Chiang Kai-shek, Hu Hanmin. Now, of course, these names to you mean nothing. But when I was a boy, you hear Father talk about them, as well as all the pictures, portraits, with all these people. He said, show me. Yeah, my friends. When the Japanese came, these were the people who the Japanese hated and would have killed my father if they saw this in the house. So our friends, while we were in Singapore as refugees, went to the house and collected all those photographs and burned them to save our lives. Who are these people? Names such as Hu Hanmin, He Yingqin, Wang Jingwei, Zhang Zizhong. Now, I'm sorry, I don't think you know them, neither do I, but these are household names. Yes. That Father would talk about whenever he tells his after dinner stories, these are the names. And who are they? They were the top, the cabinet of the country. And he excelled, he loved it. I say, God was gracious to deliver him from all these worldly ideas. Vanity of vanities. I write with the advantage of hindsight. I write as a detached reviewer. Father's involvement in revolutionary Chinese politics is best described in as a piece of vainglorious adventurism. Truly, there was no real substance. He was not a real revolutionary. But in America, they call it climbing on the bandwagon. You know what that means? If you won the campaign, jump on the bandwagon and celebrate. And you don't need to do very much, but you are also part of the winning team. Why is it he got on so well? I analyzed the whole situation. Only because of Dr. Sun, a very gracious and accommodating father figure. Surely this young man out of the village in Swatow coming here, he looks not bad. I give him some credit and takes pity on him. So allowed him. Well, he must have been somehow charismatic enough to influence Dr. Sun to take him on. In the midst of father's vain pursuit of earthly glory shines the unfailing mercy of God. I want to stress this, that the greatest thing that happened was God delivered our family. So father's life can be divided into two halves. First half, chasing the world until he nearly died twice. First half. First 50 years, he lived to 92. Second half, God saved him to Nanyang. And here, the greatest event that happened in our lives was Dr. John Sung. The coming of Dr. John Sung and our 2 weeks under his ministry for the first time, 1935, and subsequently for 3 more years, 2 weeks each time, the preaching of the gospel delivered him from his worldliness once and for all. I remember the day we were there, the first day, hearing the preaching of Dr. Sung. And when Dr. Sung called for all of you who want to confess your sins, stand up, confess now. Everybody, corporate confession, everybody confessing sins. And there was Father shouting out loud. All his worldliness, his sins, everything, including his smoking and whatever else, I don't know. But that was the event that turned back his whole life. After that, serving the Lord, wherever he went. Kluang, Batu Pahat, Singapore, he became an elder of the church, he became a preacher, itinerant evangelist, everywhere he went, he preached Christ and him crucified. However, the thing that never left him, even though he was fervent for the Lord, was his vainglory. He still loved it. Oh, if he can tell people and brag about all these things, that was in his lifeblood somehow. But God was merciful because in the heart of hearts, he loved the Lord. He served the Lord. And he brought us up all very strictly, fervently, in the things of God to all of us. Oh, young people, all my children, my sons and daughters, serve the Lord fervently all our life. That one, no compromise. Yes. So our God is good. Page 5. Out of the crucible of testing and trial, he transplanted us to peaceful Nanyang. Here our family received the unspeakable blessing of Dr. John Sung. To God be the glory that by this man's preaching, all our lives were changed, transformed, as far as the east is from the west. As far as night is different from day, it was an amazing work of salvation, an amazing work of revival. Thank God for that. I read in closing a verse from Jeremiah 45. Jeremiah says, "Seekest thou great things for thyself? Anyone here who is pursuing the world, and not yet fully converted to the kingdom of heaven, and not yet having the sight of heaven, and fully converting your future, committing your future to the Lord, think again. The word of God says, seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, upon the earth, says the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee. For a prey in all places whither thou goest, seek not for yourself vain glory and the things of earth." So I say, thank God. In 1979, God called Father. By that time, he was 92. And you know, when he was about 90, every day he'll say, "Oh, how I wish I could go and preach the gospel. Do evangelism, go to the new villages, go here, go there for the Lord." Well, to everything there is a season and a time. Lesson is, dear friends, don't wait till you're 90. Don't wait till you are immobile. When there is no more strength, no more mobility, don't wait. Behold, now is the time. Give to the Lord the best years of your life. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Young people, what about you? What can you do? You say, what can I do? I say, you can do all that God will enable you to do. Only be willing to say, God, Lord, take my life and use it. That is the thing that God loves. Young people, to say, God, take my life, use it. If you are willing to do it, God can use you. But be honest, be earnest, be sincere. This is a challenge for today. We need valiant, committed, earnest young people to say the world is rubbish. The world will perish. Only Jesus, only Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, may thy word speak to some person today. Open our eyes to eternal realities and to the real values, to know that on earth we have no future. Only in Jesus there is a bright hope and an unending future. Bless our people here, that we will all consider everyone, man and woman, boy and girl, but consider that the Lord is able to use us and has much work for us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.